ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Welcome to episode number 11 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining me are Patrick Hackett.
Yo!
And Ron Deanna.
May the force be with you guys.
Same to you, Ron.
And also with you, I'm Catholic, that's how I feel.
That's what I was...
to respond to that.
I was thinking the same thing, too.
Or now, because I have been to Mass recently, Mom, and with your spirit?
Well, that's good to hear.
That's not something I remember.
It's new.
We're going to talk about the toys that came out on Force Friday, and one of our big topics is how much did Force Friday spoil The Force Awakens for us, because I felt that there were some things that kind of confirmed some of the stories I've been reading, and even some new things that came out that seemed pretty interesting that may lead to spoilers. So this is going to be a fairly big spoiler episode, and we'll let you know in advance when we're going to start the spoiler, and when we're going to end it, more importantly. But we'll definitely get into that, and hopefully we'll have fun with that. But right now we're going to get into the news, and we're going to talk about this big shake up over at Marvel that happened last week. Apparently had to do with Marvel Entertainment, and I didn't know that they were having problems, but Kevin Feige, who is the producer of most of the Marvel movies, if not all of them, and he's also the president of Marvel, he met with Disney and kind of had issues with reporting directly to Marvel Entertainment CEO Isaac Perlmutter, and so now he reports directly to Alan Horn, who's Disney Pictures president, and he seems very happy with that he's going reporting directly with Disney. And a lot of people are looking at this as favorably because Perlmutter apparently was very tight when it came to money, and he caused a lot of problems due to the fact that when something was running over budget, he just didn't want to add any more money to the budget that he had already authorized. Anyway, so what do you guys think about this whole issue?
When I first heard about it, I was concerned. I thought it was the
Me too.
Studio trying to wrest some control, because Horn's been known to interfere with budgets himself and, you know, walk on his... When he walked onto the Lone Ranger set and cut, what, 20% of their budget right away? And, I mean, I understand what he did there, but I was concerned. And then I read a little bit more into it and how Marvel was kind of... The comic book people were interfering with the movie people like they knew what they were doing. When, obviously, I think, what percent of that company's of Marvel's revenue comes from the movies versus the books at this point?
Oh, man, I wouldn't even be able to venture a guess, but I imagine it's mostly movie revenue.
And merchandise. I don't, like,
yeah.
The books are there to support that. And reading about it, I got more hopeful. And Horn keeps... You know, so far we haven't heard him even, you know, say a word about everything at Lucasfilm is under Kennedy. He doesn't touch it other than, like, approve a budget.
Yeah.
And, you know, mostly because it's, I mean, we don't know how much he's allowed to keep his hands out of Pixar because of Lasseter. But he's a smart guy who knows his movies. And I think, you know, he knows what to do with one of these seasons. And I think one of the bigger things that came out of this is, you know, the second that hits, a few of these actors that have said, you know, they're like, you know, I think we want to be done with this and want to retire from acting,
yeah,
suddenly came back and saying, like, well, now that we're going to be able to renegotiate our salaries, maybe we'll stick around. Because that's been an issue for everybody but...
Downey.
Downey, and part of Downey's agreement to extend out his contract was pay bumps for some of the other people.
Yeah.
Because they all got locked in a nice little contract, like six-picture contracts, some of them not even making that, you know, I don't even think some of them made $1 million for their first roles. but I'm probably exaggerating there, but they were not making a lot of money at all.
A lot of Hollywood money. They were making a lot of regular people money.
Right, compared to what, you know, Downey.
Comparatively. Yeah.
So what was it? I mean, I heard Chris Evans saying that he'd like to come back as Captain America, and that's the first time he's really said that. So yeah, that I felt the same way too, that maybe the shakeup was a good thing, and that this may have influenced him to say, well, yeah, like you said, let's renegotiate. Did you hear of anybody else?
I haven't heard. I mean, both Hemsworth and Renner said they really didn't want to continue too far into this, but I haven't heard anything positive from them, but I haven't heard. I've also seen over the last couple of months that's died down as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have to see a lot's going to happen in this next movie. So, you know, for all we know, if Civil War turns out the way Civil War does, this could just be Evans, you know, part of his ploy to, you know, throw off spoilers.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, talking about Civil War, I mean, that apparently was the main problem, is that it was going over budget, and it was kind of, I guess, driving Kevin Feige a little crazy that he wasn't getting the support that he wanted from Marvel Entertainment.
Right. And they go. It's like Marvel Entertainment was looking at this like, well, it's going to be Ant-Man and only make X amount, when it's really, the sky's the limit on Captain America, let's be honest. If this lives up to its own hype of the books and, you know, the amount of characters thrown at it, it's looking to be, you know, close to $1 billion worldwide box office. So if you've got a problem spending $250 million to make $1 billion, you've got a problem in your business model.
Yeah. I was with you. I was very, very worried, and as I read more and became more informed, I worried less. I do not like Alan Horn. I don't think he is the best person to be running Disney's live-action wing. I think he's failed enough on his own, but I think it's in a better place, and I think it's basically everything, all the power is with Kevin Feige now. That's who has the power, and that's who probably deserves it. This is his ship. He's running this ship into the direction that he wants to, and, you know, everything he's touched so far has turned to gold. They took a risk with Guardians. It paid off. Ant-Man was a big risk. It seems to have paid off. It made decent money. Merchandise sales were okay, from what I understand. And the comic books, to drop another news item, can't get their stuff together. There's rumors that Secret Wars will continue into January, while some of these books that are supposed to be after the conclusion of Secret Wars, the new continuity, will have already started. So it's a very difficult time at Marvel. I mean, I imagine with all this money, there's a lot of issues and backbiting and things like that, but I trust in Feige. I don't trust in Horn, so I'm 50-50 on this. When I started off 100% negative, so, you know, I guess that's a good place right now.
And I think, was it his name, Perlmutter?
Yeah.
Yeah, Perlmutter,
he has some issues that I think, like, if this Marvel reboot doesn't pan out immediately, and the early reviews of some of the stuff that's post-Secret Wars haven't been good. Like, people don't like the direction Marvel's going. It's just chaos. Worse than New 52 seemed to be from the what little I've heard about it. If that goes on, he's not going to be running Marvel much longer either.
No. And I think go ahead. I'm sorry.
Did you also, like, he is also some of the one that directs the merchandise sales. And he's the one that says, nobody's going to buy the Black Widow figure. And, you know, supposedly some of the stuff I heard says a lot of that direction came from him.
So, yeah, and I will jump on that point about comics as well, is that the early backlash was so bad that they had to announce some of these new titles. You know what it was? It was almost the exact opposite of what happened with New Fantasyland. So New Fantasyland, what's there for boys? And when they came back with these new titles that were coming out after the Secret Wars event, it was, what happened to all these strong female characters we had going in? And so they scrambled, and they're like, well, Squirrel Girl, in addition to being in the Avengers, also has her own book. You know, we're going to bring Kamala Khan back as Captain Marvel. There's going to be two other iterations of Captain Marvel. Our female Thor is sticking around. So, you know, they really had to do a little damage control there, and I'm really worried. I thought Marvel was in such a great place before the Secret Wars event. There were so many books I wanted to read, and now all I do is read a few books and take them off my list because they're just not worth my time.
I hear you there. I know your love for Squirrel Girl.
My love for Squirrel Girl is huge, man. It's a great book, and I'm off the top of my head, I can't think of the writer, but he is a perfect, it might be a she, I don't know, whoever it is a perfect person to take over Deadpool after this new run of Deadpool and Cable, and also a Deadpool and Spider-Man title. So, you know, I mean, there's stuff to look forward to, but I think they're really going for what they know will sell because they're in a bad place creatively.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to touch on, too, is, and Ron had kind of brought this up, was that right after this, there was an announcement, too, that they were disbanding the Marvel creative team, which were somewhat responsible for possibly Edgar Wright leaving Ant-Man. And two members that I know that are comic book writers that are part of it are Brian Michael Bendis and Joe Quesada. But the weird thing, though, you would think, all right, what movies did they interfere that caused so much problems? And they came out with a list of the movies that they worked on and the ones that they didn't work on. And it's crazy. All right, the ones that they worked on were Iron Man, the first Iron Man.
Well, first that's terrific.
First Avengers.
All right.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Captain America, the first Avenger. Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And Captain America, Civil War. Other than Civil War, those other ones were great. I mean, yeah. So they didn't really do, I don't know what they did, but that's a pretty good resume, you know, to say you worked on that. And the ones that they really didn't work on were Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, and Avengers Age of Ultron, and those are some of the weaker ones.
But we know there was somebody interfering, and I don't think Whedon ever gave names, but he said there was definitely interference coming from on high. Avengers.
And you know, to me, the that's where my worry came from, because the last two came out and you hear this talk of interference from on high, and my first thought goes to Disney, because I think if he had his way, he would be more in charge of that. And so I worried that Disney was getting its fingers in there, and I don't think Disney's fingers belong in there. You know, it's not their thing. Back to Quesada for a minute. I know he worked so hard on Daredevil, and Daredevil's amazing. But Brian Michael Bendis, his stock, like, as somebody who was once this hotshot up-and-comer, his stock has significantly dropped lately. And
he's overworked.
Yeah, really, you could be right.
They built everything, like, for, I think, what, from about 2002 to,
well,
to present day, he was the backbone.
Yeah.
Did he start Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yes. He ran it for at least 100 issues. I think he ran it till he might have run it till
Secret Wars.
Yeah. I don't even know. Like, did he run it through Miles Morales?
I'm not sure.
I think he ran it till at least Miles came up. And he has done some great, like, if you want a great run of Daredevil, his run on Daredevil is fantastic. Marvel put a lot of stock in like four or five writers in the early 2000s. Bendis led the pack. Mark Miller, Vaughn, Grant Morrison. Is it Morrison?
Yeah.
They had a lot of great writers, and everything suddenly just started piling on Bendis because I think Amazing Spider-Man became, you know, a phenomenon with sales at the time. It really, that book really revitalized a younger...
You mean Ultimate?
Yeah, Ultimate. That really revitalized a lot of... that Ultimate Universe that he created with that book really revitalized a lot of readers. I mean, that got me back into between that and... Miller or Bendis were the first two, and Vaughn were the first three on X-Men, Ultimate X-Men. And then Ultimates itself was Miller, who I think writes some amazing stuff that just doesn't translate amazingly well to film with Wanted, but I think, you know, Kick-Ass was a great movie. Kingsman was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great. I love that movie. Let's hope that this new future between Kevin Feige and Alan Horn is successful and we get some good stuff out of it. And we'll just keep our fingers crossed for now. All right, so anyway, that's the end of that, the news. All right, so let's get into the main topic, and it's going to be about, it's going to be very spoilerific. We're going to be saying some spoilers that we've seen through the Force Friday toys that have come out. Also, some of the promotional art that we've seen, and even some stories that we've read. But we want to kind of focus. There were definitely some things that came out on Force Friday that made me scratch my head and say, hey, look, I think they're kind of giving away maybe a little too much. And hopefully you guys will agree with me, or if you don't, you can basically debate me on it. So let's get right into it. I guess what we'll do is we'll talk about some of the toys. Like you guys, I know, Ron, you were at the one of the midnight openings for Force Friday.
No, I didn't do any midnight. I considered doing it, but I also really like sleep. So that happened, and you know, I just had a busy week with personal stuff. You know, my wife got injured early in the week, so I spent a lot of time dealing with that. I had intended to go, even if I didn't really intend to buy anything. I just wanted to go see what was there, but I didn't go till after work. Got out early on Friday for, you know, long Labor Day weekend, and went pretty much straight to Toys R Us to see what they had.
So what was some of the booty that you got there?
Oh, my stuff, I didn't spend too much. I never intended to. I just don't have places for everything anymore. But the big purchase for me, and it's not a huge purchase, was the Poe Dameron's X-Wing Lego set, which that was one thing I intended. I didn't intend to buy anything that big at all. I intended to go and get a few small items, but it was one of the few sets they had, like, a model of on the shelf, and it looked just so pretty, I had to get it. The black and orange X-Wing really, really looks cool, and it's a great Lego set. It took me about 3.5 hours to put together. After I got it home, put together about 10-15 minutes, and modern Legos come in, like, this is bag one. You put everything in bag one together. This is bag two. Then you add that to bag one. Well, in bag one, there was a piece missing. So I went back to the store and took it back in and got home, and the same piece was missing from that bag one. But luckily, it's a piece that, you know, gets hidden behind something else, and I could use an extra washer piece that was in the set to fill it in, because it was part of a piece that moves the wings. The wings actually, there's a little knob that you can turn the wings open and close automatically, which is a really cool feature to the Legos. So much more complex than the Legos we had as, you know, kids. So I couldn't just, you know, fill in the piece, but I wonder if, because two sets were missing it, there was some sort of design change.
Yeah.
To it, but it is a really nice set. You know, Lego, Star Wars Lego stuff is really pricey. I don't know if it's worth the, you know, 80 retail for a 730-ish piece set, but it's really nice. It came with, you know, the four minifigs, Poe Dameron, one Resistance pilot, one Resistance maintenance crew, and BB-8. But the detail on even, like, BB-8's printing on his body is just excellent. It's a really nice set. Lots of moving parts and lots of unique pieces to it. And then the other...
Yeah, I was in Walmart today and I saw that piece put together on a display. And that is, I'd say that's like in the top three that I would like to purchase. It definitely looks sweet. I mean, especially, you know, you got a black X-Wing now, and it looks really nice. And I think it looks even better than the actual Don't they have like a model of the Black X-Men?
I didn't see the toy, but there was, you know, the action figure sections were cleared out mostly. There were a few things in a lot of them, and we found most things by going. I met up with Casey, who is my sister-in-law's fiance. I call him my brother-in-law most of the time, but he and I went to like 10 different stores. We went to, you know, Target, Best Buy, you know, GameStop, even Kohl's. He was hunting for a lot of the figures, and by the end of it, we found almost everything. The only one we never found was Captain Phasma.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't see that one either.
So I want to hop in here in a quick second and talk a little bit about Captain Phasma, if I could.
Sure, go ahead.
Do we think the popularity is because it's Gwendolyn Christie? Or do we think it's just really cool-looking, top-of-the-line, you know, first-order trooper? So that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, from someone that has never seen Game of Thrones, I'm going to come out and say, I think it's because that looks like a badass stormtrooper.
Yeah.
That stood out. I mean, it's like, basically, it's a chrome trooper. She's got a cape. I didn't even know it was a she at first. I mean, we just only found out, like, a few months ago that she was playing that character.
Did you guys, speaking to this, this was a smaller news story that happened in the last couple of weeks. There was a thing on the Star Wars Facebook page. Someone's like, someone had posted something about, you know, Captain Phasma's armor doesn't show that she's a woman. It's not very feminine. And to their credit, and I really like how they responded, the official Star Wars page responded, yeah, it's armor. Why should it show she's a woman underneath? It's just there for protection. And I think that really is part of the allure of this character is, you know, stormtroopers have been disposable for so long. Seeing one that's unique and that has a name, and the new stormtroopers, I love the look of the new stormtroopers. They look clean. They look more menacing somehow.
I don't know, man. They look like they have weird smiley faces.
Yeah, and they look like they're wearing those oversized novelty sunglasses. It's just, I think, I like the original stormtroopers, but I mean, they look okay, but I agree with Patrick. That's the one thing that kind of bothers me is the smiley face kind of look. I mean, I'm sure I'll get used to it, but I also agree with you. They look clean, they look badass, and I can't wait to see them on screen. I mean, one thing that we're going to see is there are definitely different types of stormtroopers out there. There's flamethrower stormtroopers, there's heavy gun armor stormtroopers, and they're all going to look slightly different. So definitely looking forward to seeing what they look like on screen.
There's also an ice trooper that harkens back to the Hoth troopers, kind of with the skirts. I saw that figure out there, too. And that leads into one of the spoilers that kind of came up with a bunch from some of the discussions on some of the packaging. I think this will be the first point is there is an ice base with something called the Starkiller that at one point Rey is there to, I don't know what's really going on, but there's something that says she's surrounded by a bunch of troopers, and they find out it's not the weapon, but the person who wields it, and that was the entire description. So...
Luke?
Who knows, but the...
No, actually, it's General Hux, right? He has control of that Starkiller base.
Right, and from, you know, the things I piece together is, one, obviously Starkiller is a reference to Luke's original name.
Yeah.
And the other one is, I wonder if it is really, like, similar to the Sun Crusher from the Kevin J. Anderson trilogy.
Yeah.
Which was one of the first, I think it was the first series of books that went straight to softback without a hardback edition. And that led to Anderson taking over the kind of continuity control for a while. I think we should probably do an episode on these in the future, and obviously we'll all have to Wikipedia them because there's too many of them to read and talk about. But it's all the old expanded universe that's been wiped out.
Yeah.
Originally, I believe it was 91, the Thrawn trilogy came out, one book per year, and then things kind of got out of hand really quickly with how many books came out. I think by the time, about 2 years ago, there was something about 140 novels over that maybe 20-year period. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But I remember, too, when Dark Horse was doing Star Wars comics, there was Dark Empire, and that had a similar weapon, too. It wasn't, instead of doing a Death Star, it was like something that basically would destroy a whole...
World Devastators.
Yeah. Kind of like...
They were a cool design. Those, basically ate planets and then churned out robotic ties from the materials they ate, and they were a cool series. Those first three... the first three things to come out were the Thrawn Trilogy, Dark Empire, and then the Kevin J. Anderson Jedi Academy Trilogy. And those were kind of the beginning of the expanded universe. And they all had... Well, there was no real super weapon in the Thrawn Trilogy. There were the... they found the old clone factories, basically. And that started... basically allowing the remnants of the Empire to rebuild their troops really quickly. That was kind of one of the main plots there. But there were the World Devastators and Dark Empire, and the Sun Crusher, which basically fired a torpedo into a star to make it go Nova in the Jedi Academy trilogy.
Yeah, that's kind of like Star Trek, the reboot movie, too.
Yeah, and I think it's... I mean, I've seen another part, other science fiction stories as well. It's, you know... It's a
well. I mean, it's definitely more devastating of a weapon if that is what it is, because the Death Star would just basically destroy planets. This is like
destroying systems.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they. It seems like they're going that route because, I mean, if I have to see another Death Star in a movie, I mean, I'm gonna flip out. I mean, I didn't think they needed a second one in Jedi. I'm glad the Death Star is gone. Let's bring in like a new deadly weapon that's even, you know, more dangerous than the Death Star, and that sounds like a perfect weapon. The only thing that I question though is like, how far away are these enemies from each other?
You know, I mean, if it makes one star go Nova, who knows how big they could get into, you know, if it's controlled Nova or whatever. But the super weapon works, but don't build everything around a super one. But maybe some people saw that as a problem with the prequel trilogy. There was no, you know, MacGuffin to be destroyed like there was with the two Death Stars.
Hmm.
But
I think one of the big problems with the prequel trilogy is that the bad guys that you get invested in are suddenly just dispatched, and then the story keeps going.
Yeah, you've got Maul.
It gone.
Yeah. Grievous could have been built up so much better and had so much more detail. If you watch the cartoons and read the books, he was a much more interesting character.
But, well, yeah, I mean, we'll get into that, I guess, like, in another podcast. But, yeah, I feel that the design of him looked really threatening and all that. The voice just kind of ruined it for me, like with his asthma and stuff like that. I just felt that it just made him look weak. And we could have had something better than that. But, again, that'll be something we'll discuss in a future podcast, like when we discuss the prequels. But,
So, Joe, you and I had a conversation, and we've been talking a lot about Kylo Ren and how he's just everywhere, and they're trying to really market him and how you're just not digging the look. Well, I collect pop vinyls.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the little figures made by Funko. Funko, if you ever want to give me free things, that would be great. And I'm staring at my Kylo Ren Target exclusive, and it has a little bit of a different face mask than, I guess, the originals.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I'm not digging this look, and I think they've overexposed him a little bit. Let's not even get into, like, spoilers of the character where you're talking about the conversation that you and I had, but he's just everywhere too much. I mean, how prevalent was Vader in the original posters and things like that?
He wasn't in the original one, but I think
right.
He was a little bit more prevalent in Empire.
Yes.
Like with the merchandising and stuff like that. Because they knew, like, all right, you know, he was a pretty big hit. You know, he was a home run for us, probably more so than any of the good guys. So I think they pushed him a little more. And I think that's what they're doing with Kylo Ren, is they're trying to make him to be the new Vader and saying, like, well, let's just push the hell out of him, you know, because we want Vader worked so well for us? Because I think, isn't he like the face of the Star Wars franchise still, Darth Vader?
Well, I mean, things got turned that, you know, it was originally Luke's story, but then you realize it was Anakin Vader's story, the first six movies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that plays into it. And, I mean, there's stories of, you know, the first test screenings they showed of A New Hope when it was just Star Wars. Like, they show the opening scenes, and the way Vader's introduced, the audience automatically, they were booing in the first, like, before they knew who he was. The second he stepped on screen, he was just such a well-designed heavy that he just comes out and you know who he is. You know he's menacing. You know he's just the bad guy.
Yeah, but like Patrick and I were saying, we're just getting kind of sick of seeing him on every damn poster. But I think part of it, too, is they don't want to push too many spoilers, and I guess they figure, well, this guy is out there. He's the face of this movie. Let's just push the hell out of him. But I am getting kind of sick of him because most of the images are very similar. It's like, it's him from the right side, it's him from the left side, it's a full body figure, it's him holding his lightsaber and stuff like that. It's like, all right.
Well, let's get into them. There's a couple things about Kylo Ren that
came
out.
I did want to ask something about that Funko. So is that the only one that you got, or did you get anything else?
No, I picked up three. I grabbed the Target-exclusive Kylo Ren, a BB-8 Hot Topic exclusive Rey, and I ordered the Amazon exclusive for First Order Trooper.
You know, it was funny. I saw that BB-8 Funko, and he doesn't look much different than who he actually is, right?
No.
I think that's actually pretty cool in a way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, again, Patrick, I know, is a big collector of those, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of fun when more of them come out. And, yeah, let's get right into this. Do you want to talk, Ron, do you want to talk about the talking Kylo Ren figure and what he has to say?
I didn't see the talking one. There were other issues. I didn't even really see much about the talking one, but let's get into the first thing that came out. Before Force Friday, Abrams had an interview in Empire, I think it was Empire Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first hint of any spoilers he gave is kind of who Kylo Ren is. That we know that's not his real name. He's a member of a Sith worshipping cult, the Knights of Ren. And they've made it their mission to kind of follow in the Sith's footsteps, even though they don't know what they're doing. So that's kind of why we see he built his own lightsaber from scratch without knowing anything about a lightsaber. That's why we see the weird, funky one. He just thinks that's what one's supposed to be. It may even be made of parts from Vader's old saber.
Well, that's the whole thing, too. It seems like, and now we're going to get into a little bit bigger spoilers.
These are all conjecture spoilers.
Yeah, it's conjecture. Nothing has come out saying that this is legitimate or anything. It's speculation and just things that we've read. But it does seem that it's going to focus on Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber, which was handed to Luke by Obi-Wan in A New Hope, and one which he lost while he was fighting Darth Vader in Cloud City. That apparently somehow that happens to just appear, and more than likely Rey gets her hands on it. And
Finn gets his hands on it definitely at some point too, which we've seen in footage.
Yeah. And I think that what it is that, yeah, again, like you said, he seems like he's obsessed with Darth Vader. And he's not a Sith, and I think he really wants to be a Sith. He has some kind of powers, but he's not a real Sith. And I think he feels that by getting this blade, that's the first step towards him becoming more powerful, since it was a Sith blade, or actually it was a Jedi. I don't know, what the hell, what would you call that? Because
no, it's not, that is not the original Anakin, the one that Luke lost. Now, I'm just going to say, because I really just read this in Aftermath a couple hours ago. I'm about three quarters of the way through the Aftermath novel.
Mm-hmm.
And this so far has been the most significant thing of what I could tell is affecting directly into Episode 7. Is that the book goes between the main story, which is taking place on this planet, I believe it's called Akiva, that it's about 6 months after Jedi. The remnants, all the the highest ranking Imperial remnants are having this meeting, trying to figure out how the Empire is going to continue to exist. They've been on the run for about 6 months. They've been losing ground, not, you know, all of a sudden the Empire disappeared after the Battle of Endor. And it's been going back and forth between that story, some rebels who were kind of thrown into this mix trying to disrupt this, and these interludes. And the interludes are taking place on different planets. And I think these interludes are actually going to be more important in the future. One of them that's been going on is the first day of the New Republic Senate, and Mon Mothma as the new chancellor. Akbar trying to figure out, you know, how much of a military the New Republic really needs. Those are kind of the interludes. But one of them is somebody selling something they're claiming to be Vader's red lightsaber to these three hooded individuals that intend to send it on to its maker. So I think those might be the Knights of Ren getting their hands on that blade, and Kylo Ren eventually getting it.
Well, as far as the blade that we've seen Finn holding, it's blue. So it can't be Luke's lightsaber from Jedi because it was green. And
no, I think that's been almost all but confirmed that that is the Bespin lightsaber.
Okay, well, that's what I was saying, that it was basically...
But Kylo Ren's may be made from Vader's red saber.
Oh, no, I was saying he's that. He wants that lightsaber. I mean, yeah, I don't know that. I'm just saying, like, what I've seen so far, it seems like he's obsessed with Vader, and we'll get into... Well, let's get right into it. I just want to talk about... They released this talking Kylo Ren toy or figure, and he says a lot of revealing things. Well, to me, anyway, I think he does. I'm kind of going to go over it and basically say what he has to say. One of the first things that he says, I've been waiting for this for a long time. We don't know what that means. I mean, you guys can kind of decide what you think it is. I mean, I'm just going to say he's been waiting for this for a long time. It seems like like I said before, he's not a Sith because there are no Sith around to have trained him or anything like that. And he kind of worships what they believed in and what power they had. And I really think that what he's waiting for a long time is the lightsaber, hoping that that would somehow lead him towards the path of becoming a Sith in the dark side. That's it.
There's other some spoilers from the figures is... If you take off his hood, the back of his helmet looks exactly like the back of Vader's helmet. So there's now speculation that that scene we've seen in the trailer of seeing the burnt Vader mask is, that might also be what says, I've been waiting for this for a long time, and
true,
he's taking the helmet. And I don't know if this was the Abrams interview or some speculation that the Knights of Ren are not aligned themselves with the First Order. It might be Ren defected from them to try and take the place of the Sith Lords in the Empire.
Well, I don't know. He's with a lot of stormtroopers, though.
Right, no, that he might have left the Knights of Ren
to join
the First Order. That's been some speculation I've seen out there. I mean, that's the good thing about the speculation of spoilers is there's a few different theories of, even though we might know what's going on, is one of seven, you know, things that might be what's going on. So we're not 100% going, oh, this is definitely what the movie's going to be. When we get in there, it's going to be like, oh, so we were right.
You got anything, Patrick?
No, I'm listening because I take everything with a grain of salt. Being a professional wrestling fan for most of my life, I understand how rumors come and go, but some of the quotes from Kylo Ren are a bit telling. I can tell you by looking at the figure, I mean, the helmet on Kylo Ren is damn near identical to Vader because I have the quote-unquote unhooded Target exclusive, and it looks just like Vader's helmet. I didn't realize that till Ron said something. We talked about this, I think, very early on when we were doing the show, is how the soundtrack of Episode 1 ruined, what was that, Qui-Gon's death?
I think it was Qui-Gon's Noble End was the name of the track.
Yeah, and so I thought it was very telling that they're not releasing the soundtrack until right when the movie's out. I think it's ridiculous that they're trying to play stuff to the vest so close, but they're releasing these toys, and you know, possible spoilers. Good friends over at Pardon the Pixie Dust, you should check out their podcast, you know, went on and on about how this Force Friday event for a movie that's 100 days away, as we're recording this, 100 days away from right now, it put out so many toys, but there is so much of the story that's getting revealed, and there's also, this is a holiday movie, don't you think you'd want the toys to be hot closer to the holiday season?
I think they want to have the merchandise. They want the collectors to be able to go get it now. And there was, I'll talk about this a little bit here. Is when I first went to Toys R Us around probably around 4 o'clock, there were the only figures on the wall, and this was 3-inch and black figures. There were no black figures at Toys R Us. The only figures on the wall were reissue figures of. Like Vader and Luke, and like these are older figures that just happen to be on the new packaging, and Resistance Trooper. There were no real new Force Awakens figures left on the wall, and we spoke to some of the people there. That there was about they expected 20 people in line at midnight. There were 100, and they had some limits on how much you could purchase of every item, and there were people who basically took every item to that limit. And we found most of the figures by going to a different place. We found most of the black figures, which most of them are really, really nice, except Rey's face.
Yeah,
the paint job does not... Like, we wanted it because it's got the BB-8 in it, but her figure was so bad...
Did you see the die-cast figures?
The metal ones? No.
Yeah, those look good. She should have looked like that. I don't understand what happened. I mean, I was really shocked because that looked nice. I mean, she looked like herself. This one, it's just her face looks kind of messed up. I just don't get it.
Yeah,
those are supposed to be really good figures, too.
They had a similar set for those out at D23, and they were... It was $150 for 6 or 7 figures, and they were gorgeous. Or, I'm sorry, it was $200. It would have been 150, like it was like 160 with the discount or something. I don't know. But I really, really wanted those, but it was a 20-pound box for these 7 figures because they were like 8-inch die-cast figures.
Yeah.
And it was huge, and they were beautiful. Like, I've never seen a Grievous figure look that good. Because it wasn't plastic, it was metal, they just looked right. But we found most of them, as I said, the ones we could not find, a small one or a large one, was Phasma. Phasma is the chase figure in the black figures, we know that. There's only one per box of her.
Okay.
So that's going to be a little hard to find. I expect those to fully be out by the, you know, by Christmas, and I think that's why they released this stuff so early is they want the collectors to get in and out, and they want to be able to have the kids get that second wave of stuff out.
Easily. Yeah, they'll definitely, probably like around November, they'll be coming in with a second wave.
Yeah.
Do you expect more to be behind the second wave of figures, or do you think we're as spoilerific as we're going to get?
No, I think there's figures that aren't out for certain reasons. I think, like, there was no Supreme Commander Snoot figure at all. We don't know what he looks like. We don't know who he is. All we know is he's completely done by...
Andy Serkis.
And none of the CG figures were there. I didn't see a Han figure, which maybe means, like, maybe Han has some sort of... I know you were speculating that could mean that Han dies in this movie. Because there's a lot of Chewy stuff. There's a lot of Finn,
yeah,
Rey.
Well, we'll get into that.
But I think that maybe it's like, you know, over the time, like, we've only seen a shot of Han from the... Maybe he has a mechanical leg or something they don't want to show that's out there. Maybe something happened with that. So that could, you know, be part of the figure. It was just things that are CG that we haven't seen yet didn't come out. And I think that's on purpose, and I think those are going to come out right at Christmas. I think they wanted to get the hype going now is why this was. Not that I think this needed more hype. I didn't see all of the... there weren't too many large vehicle toys around. I don't know if they were out.
But the small vehicle toys, man, those were they part of the Black Series? I think they were.
There's a couple different. There are some die-cast. There were.
Oh, those are so good looking.
I bought some of those. There was a 4-pack of 2 X-Wings, including, I think it's Biggs X-Wing and Poe's X-Wing. The original version of the Falcon and an original TIE Fighter. I bought that set. And they're only $5 a pop. I really recommend these for $5. They're kind of Hot Wheels-y in the construction. So, you know, metal, about that size. And I bought Slave 1 separately. There's 10...
Hey Ron, did you just make the measurement with your fingers for the podcast?
The Hot Wheels size symbol, but I really meant that they were about Hot Wheels size.
They're about Hot Wheels size, yeah.
There were 2 sets. There were those at that size, and there were the larger Micro Machines at that size. I happen to like the paint jobs a little better on the black ones. They're about the same price, and there's some different ships in both. There were 6 of the larger Micro Machines, from what I said, come in 2 packs. And then there were... There's a 4-pack and then 10 individual of the Black Series. There's 2 versions of the Falcon, the new one and the old one. The paint job's a little different. The biggest difference, obviously, is the deflector dish on top has changed because, you know, it got knocked off. I did not see, like, a large figure-size Falcon. I didn't see a large figure size of any of the major ships. There were the smaller version, there were the Micro Machines, there were the black, there were the larger Micro Machines. There was, like, Finn Speeder was there. There was, not a spoiler for episode 1, but there was a Slave 1 with the Rebels logo on it. So, I mean, that had to be inevitable that Boba Fett was going to show up somewhere in Rebels. So I don't think that's too much of a spoiler. I think we all knew that had to come at some point. But there were no, I did not see, like, you know, of X-Wing size for the 3-inch figures. I didn't see a TIE Fighter size for those. So I didn't see, I don't know if they just weren't there, but I didn't see any of that. So those might be coming too. And I mean, they refer to, you know, Poe's X-Wing as the stealth X-Wing. Okay, so that's one thing that might make a difference. And it came with BB-8, so is BB-8 originally his droid? I mean, there's a lot of the speculation came with these spoilers. We don't have any of the hard facts yet.
All right, well, let's get back to, you know, what Kylo Ren was saying in his...
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right. Let's see. Let me... All right, so the next thing that he says, is it true you're just a scavenger? I mean, that's obvious he's speaking to Rey. And again, I think that from what I've seen, I know they're trying to show us like Finn holding the lightsaber in the last short little teaser that they had. I don't think he's going to be the Jedi. I think she's going to be the Jedi. And I think he feels it, that he knows that she's got to be Han and Leia's daughter. And again, this is just rumor and speculation, but more than likely something happened between Han and Leia and Rey, and she ends up basically running away from home or something like that. Or they could be protecting her or sending her out there, but I find it hard to believe that they would put her on a desert planet to basically scavenge for a living. She might just be kind of like a rebel and say, look, I'm not living the life that my parents had planned for me. I'm just leaving. She ends up on Jakku, and she's a scavenger. She's very much in electronics. But she's probably going to be the new Jedi that they seem to be talking about. That's my opinion anyway. And that's why we haven't heard her last name.
If she, yeah, we don't have either, we still don't have Finn or Rey's last names.
Yeah.
We have Poe's finally, Poe Dameron, so that speculation that he's a Solo is probably out the window. But if Rey is really a Solo child, that maybe she went off looking for Luke, if Luke is really missing. Maybe she wanted to do training, and that's how she ran off, and that's Han's chasing her and not chasing Luke.
Could be. And there's another thing that's said by Finn in one of his toys that could lead to that too, what you just said. You know, we'll get to that in a minute or two. What do you think, Patrick?
About what? I'm here.
No, about Rey being a scavenger. Do you think that she's a Jedi?
I'm not sure. I know they mentioned before that she's a scavenger. I mean, we've seen her in very scavenging-esque ways. I don't know what that says about, you know, who she is, who she belongs to. I agree with both of you guys. There's reasons that we don't know these people's last names. And every time I see Rey, I feel like she looks a lot like Leia. But even if she was Luke's daughter, she could still look a lot like Leia. That's his sister.
Mm-hmm. And it could very well be Luke's daughter, too, for all you know.
Yeah, she looks more like, I think, Natalie Portman than Carrie Fisher. But I've only really... So, I mean, either way, that works.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so another thing that he says, Kylo Ren, is, you know what I've come for. And to me, I just feel that's got to be the lightsaber. And
or the mask.
Could be the mask, but he already has part of the...
What if it's like... Sorry to be morbid, but what if it's like Vader's body?
Which was burnt.
But I mean, the mask obviously made it.
Well, he's got the mask. I mean...
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear it looks like he gets the mask in the movie.
Yeah, probably very early, I would say. And then he puts that on, and then he leaves. Again, it's all speculation. The Knights of Ren or whoever.
Right. I mean, part of it is the Luke speech from the trailer. Now people think he's talking to Kylo.
Yeah.
That really would make sense, but...
And here's another thing that he says, too. Don't fight it, and you know you can't. And I'm assuming, again, that he's talking to Rey during their fight, and he's trying to basically get her to be on his side, you know, possibly journey into the dark side together.
I mean, that could also be with Finn, because we know the one thing that was confirmed from other spoilers is Finn is actually, we've seen Finn in Stormtrooper, we didn't know if he was hiding, but now it's confirmed that he does defect somehow. He was a Stormtrooper.
The seeds for that were planted in Rebels. As we saw people like Social Conscience wake up in Rebels and realize that being a part of the First Order, the Empire, may not be what's the best thing.
Right, I mean, he could have been I'll be a soldier, but then he's like, okay, we created a weapon to kill solar systems. I can't be part of this anymore.
Well, it seems, and again, this is all rumor and speculation, and we've seen the toys. We've seen these stormtroopers with flamethrowers that apparently they burn a village under the orders of Kylo Ren. And again, they're looking for something, and we're assuming that it's probably the lightsaber I am anyway. I think that's the point where he realizes that he's on the wrong side, that they're burning innocent people, or they're killing innocent people, and he doesn't want to have any part to do with it.
It's fun to speculate, but as we get closer, you know, I guess we'll start to find out what's real and what's us reading into what might be something very small.
Yeah, because I mean, I speculated the hell when the prequels came out, and I was wrong for almost everything. And to me, it was like, it's right there. It's right there, like in the first movie, they're trying to tell you that this person's going to actually be bad, or this person's actually two people, he's not one person, but yeah, it wasn't there. So it could be the case with this, too. All right, the last thing I'm going to say that he says, together, we will destroy the Resistance and the Last Jedi. Now, the Last Jedi, I'm assuming, is Luke. And again, I'm assuming he's talking to Rey. That, you know, if we join together, we can take down the Resistance and get rid of the Jedi, the Last Jedi.
I mean, that could also be if he is, you know, jumping, like, leaving this cult to join the First Order and take what he sees as Vader's heir place. They could be talking to Snoot. I mean, there's a lot, that's just, that one I think has too much speculation. to be anybody.
I mean, it could be Finn. Maybe his just over-insistence of all this leads Finn to defect.
Yeah, could be.
There's a lot to think about, but I agree with you. Even putting a lot of this stuff out, to me, just seems like poor business, because I don't want these spoilers.
Yeah.
Or let's move right... Okay, basically that's all he said. He said some minor other things, but those were the things that stuck out to me. But there was also a Finn action figure that spoke, and one of the things he says is, we go back to Jakku and we die, which to me means that at some point they end up leaving Jakku, but they know they have to go back, and that's what made me think of what Ron said. Maybe Luke is on Jakku, and then they finally realize that they have to go back to find him.
I mean, I don't know if we discussed this on this show or I discussed it with somebody else, but is Jakku actually Tatooine, but just with a different name given to it by the First Order?
It has been 30 years. I mean, things get renamed.
If the Hutts are no longer in control after Jedi, that, you know, the First Order could be renaming things in there instead of controlling the Outer Rim, which we know Tatooine's Outer Rim world. And it would not be beyond Abrams to just absolutely, you know, screw with their minds that way.
It could be, but I really hope it isn't, because I hope I never see Tatooine in a movie again, because we've seen it enough as far as I'm concerned.
And it doesn't make sense as a habitable planet. Where do they get air? I mean, they have evaporators for water, but where do they get air? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, and again, that we could go into like an even bigger conversation. It's like, why didn't anybody do something to rescue those people? They're like, yeah, they're okay. You know, they've lived there for a long time. So what? There's a bunch of sand people out there, and, you know, they basically will kill and kidnap people and stuff like that. Never went back to rescue Anakin's mother. Like, yeah, we got the money and everything, but, yeah, we got better things to do. Anyway, so that's what I'm thinking, is that at some point they realize that they've escaped Jakku, and now we have to go back for some reason. They have to go back. He says, FN2187, I don't know what to do. So I think that's kind of confirming at one point he was a stormtrooper, and that was his basically code for who he was.
Yeah, in Aftermath there was... one scene where a TIE fighter pilot gets shot, and the other one, like, his partner comes up to the character that shot him, and it's like, you killed NX-315. It, like, doesn't give a name. It just, like, even they refer to each other by their designations.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And, let's see. And one of the last things he says, I never should have rescued you, which he's either referring to Poe Dameron, because I think at some point we've heard rumors that he gets captured by the New Order, and or it could be Rey that he rescues. But I have a feeling that she ends up rescuing Finn, because again, she's a scavenger. He happens to land on the planet, or crash lands on the planet. He's being chased by the First Order. And they just happen to run into each other and, you know, work as a team at that point. And bringing up Poe Dameron, and this is something that Ron had said. So he picked up the Lego version of the black X-Wing fighter that he has, and it has BB-8 in it. So BB-8 is more than likely his droid. Would you say yes or no?
I definitely think it starts that way.
And for some reason, he ends up on that planet, too. Maybe crash lands, and the First Order finds him. But BB-8 somehow lands in the hands of Rey. The scavenger.
Well, yeah, that's what I was about to say. That leads us to more in line that she's a scavenger.
Yeah. And he may contain... He may be the one holding the lightsaber. And this is all speculation, but that's the speculation I'm going with, is that this lightsaber has a lot to do. They even show you know, in the first trailer that they showed, when Luke is doing the voiceover and he says, "My sister has it," they're finally handing it over to Leia. I just think it's going to play a big role in the whole movie.
Yeah, actually, now I'm thinking about it, like, we know it is, I forget her name, she does the voice of the character that we confirmed is the one handing the lightsaber over. There was a cat. We don't know which. Yeah.
Lupita Nyong'o?
Yeah. We don't know what her character really looks like, but there's the one who is selling Vader's saber to the people I think were the Knights of Ren and Aftermath. Kind of sounds to fit the description of what we know that little character, CG character, is supposed to be. So maybe there is somewhat like someone who's managed to find all of these and is selling them or giving them to people. That just occurred to me now.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to get into the big thing, and from I'm seeing a lot of this through the toys, and I'm seeing a lot of this through the promotional art that's just been leaked recently. And some of them are parts of the Topps trading card thing that they have out there online. You barely see any of Han Solo in these. You see a lot of Han and Chewie. You see a lot of Rey and Chewie. You see Rey and Chewie on the Falcon together. You see Finn. Yeah, basically you see Finn and Chewie basically next to each other with, you know, fighting. One's holding, or they're both holding blasters and stuff like that. I think he's gone at some point.
I thought he died for a while. I really, because there was something that said at some point, they're like, yeah, Han and Leia, or Luke and Leia play a bigger part in episode 8 than they do in this one. This one, you know, the bigger, older characters are Han and Chewie. And I really think that one of them needs to die before the end of this, if not all of them.
I think you're wrong. I think that you guys are reading way too much into this, especially because why would production have been delayed that long when Harrison Ford got hurt if he's not in it that much?
I think he dies by the end. I don't think he dies too early on. I think that.
Oh
might
yeah,
be-
yeah, no, and I agree with that. And I think that a lot of that, those scenes that we see of Rey and Chewbacca and the Falcon are more towards the end, you know, possibly them leaving to go and find Luke. You know, it might just be the two of them, and maybe Finn's in the back or something like that. Maybe Han's in the bathroom, you know.
I mean, there could be something like Han, you know, has lost a leg, or because we really only see him hold one arm and, like, you know, his upper body. So, you know, there could be some sort of spoiler if he's missing a limb that's bionic or something like that that they don't want to show. I mean, that's almost as likely.
Yeah, I can't see Han being the one to bite it. I just don't see it. I get where you're getting these hints from, but to me it doesn't add up. Harrison Ford, despite his advanced age, is probably the most bankable star that they have, and I think that it was important to get him, and it was important that he be around for production. And I don't think that we're going to see that. I think they're leading you with what they've released toy-wise to try and get to that point, like you were saying, for, you know, how you thought you had episode 1 all figured out. I don't think that's a thing.
Well, I know he wanted to die in Return of the Jedi, and Lucas didn't want that to happen. But I know he pushed for that he's not as fond of Han Solo as he is of Indiana Jones. And I've always heard that he found it a burden after a while to keep replaying it, and which was amazing that they eventually got him to come back. And so that's why I think that they're like, well, we want you to come back, but we want you to go out in a good way. And I think that that's what's going to happen. Plays a bet here, Patrick. I'm willing.
I mean, I know we've spoken. Go ahead. I mean, go ahead with your theory, and then I'll come back in.
No, I don't have a theory. I mean, I've laid down what I think is going to happen, but I will absolutely place a bet. I will, next time I see you after the film is out, drinks are on me if you are correct.
Okay, you got it.
All right.
And as far as the theory goes, and I'm sure that you've heard this before. I mean, I hope Patrick has kind of heard this too. Is that you know, Kylo Ren may be Han's son. You know, could be Han's and Leia's son, just like Rey may be their daughter.
I mean, the twin thing has to come into play again, doesn't it?
They've done it in the books. I mean, starting in the Thrawn trilogy, Han and Leia have kids, Jason and Jaina, who eventually, you know, go on. One does join the dark side. One dies. Like, there's a lot. I don't really know too much about what happens in the New Jedi Order, which takes place 35 years later from Jedi, which is kind of the same period we're in. It has nothing to do with what's going on in this, because the New Jedi Order series is an alien race from either the far side of the galaxy or outside the galaxy come in, and the remnants of the Empire and the Republic have to band together to fight them. And it's a series of like 20 books. I got through the first one and really stopped reading. Chewbacca dies in the first one in a real
But I mean, those way. Those don't count. Because
right,
they got wiped away.
They say they want to take elements from them. So I think having the Jason and Jaina type characters, yeah, one goes dark because they think that's the... They do it because they think they need to save the galaxy in a certain way.
Yeah, and it kind of like mirrors again like what they did with Luke and Leia, where they separated them. What else is it? I was going to say something too. And I can't remember.
Anakin falls because he thinks he has to save not only Padme, but that he thinks that that kind of fascist society is the only thing that can save a founding of a falling republic. And he really he wasn't evil per se when he turns.
I don't know.
Yeah, he
got pretty evil pretty quickly.
He did.
And he was a jerk before too. For.
So was Obi-Wan, let's be honest.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, Obi-Wan gets way too much credit, but he caused a lot of issues.
How dare either of you take the good name of Ben Kenobi in such a fashion?
Really? He's kind of a... I'm not going to use the word here. But
all,
he really
all the Jedi are. I mean, again, this is another conversation we can have like in the future. But yeah, I mean, I thought the Jedi
jerks are the Jedis.
Yeah, they were. They you know they were arrogant and yeah, I just didn't like them.
Anakin's fall. He becomes more evil as he falls, but he falls because he thinks he's doing the right thing. And I think you know if the First Order is coming up and the Republic has fallen back to the Resistance. We don't even know a thing about the political structure at this point.
No, but it does kind of seem like, again, like what we've seen from the trailers and promotional art, that it does look like it's mirroring, like, the Nazi Party.
Right, and maybe, you know, one of Han's kids thinks, if someone needs to lead this, I think I can fall to the dark side just enough to take control and not be Palpatine evil.
And it would also kind of make... I'm sorry, go ahead.
And Luke did that in the books at one point. Like, in Dark Empire, he goes to the dark side to try and learn how to use it, and it corrupts him so completely that Leia has to go save him.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, I mean, it could be very well that, you know, Han's kids, one of them decides to join the dark to
and this
change it.
I'm sorry if I keep interrupting. I was just going to say... I think, and this is all in my mind, it's speculation, and again, it's part of some of the things that I've read, and we don't know if it's true or not, but yeah, I do think that he may be Han and Leia's son, and that he went off to the dark side, or took the wrong path and all that, but his obsession with Darth Vader could be due to the fact that that's his grandfather, too, and that he knows that he has his blood, and he sees him as a martyr, and that he was a great man, a great leader, and he wants to be just like him. But I think, and I could see this happening, and again, I'm making this up in my mind, at some point, Han has to basically confront Kylo Ren, and maybe the other ones are escaping, similar to like what Obi-Wan did, or Ben Kenobi did during A New Hope, to help get the others to escape the Death Star. Sacrifices his own life, you know, like where he goes up to his son, and it's the first time we hear it, again, this is me saying it, you know, he may go up to him and say, son, please, you know, something like, I love you, and, you know, I never wanted it to be this way. And he just sticks that lightsaber right through him. And then we get, you know, another, no! And they all run off into the Falcon and they escape. But that's my speculation. That's how I see it coming. So if I get that one right, another drink, Patrick.
That's a good theory, and I think it's not completely out of the question.
I think you guys are. I mean, we know that there's two more of these movies, and I don't think it's time for Harrison Ford to leave the series yet. There's a lot to do. But I understand where you're coming from. We always have a shocking death in a Star Wars film. Somebody usually bites it early that you didn't expect. And I get what you're saying. It could very well be. There's lots of stuff, and I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I just, in my heart, I don't think we lose Han.
All right, so we got into a lot of things, and we got into a lot of spoilers. We're just going to end it at this point right now. We kind of went a little too long on it, but I think we kind of brought up some good points, all of us, and hopefully we'll find out, what is it, like a, is it 100 days or less than 100 days?
100 days to go.
Yeah, we'll find out pretty soon. I mean, if we're right or wrong. And let's just end it right.
You're right, Joe.
What's that?
I said, you don't want me to be right. The gloating will never end.
I know, I don't want that at all.
Well, I want you to be right because I don't want Han to die, but I still think it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's two against one, Patrick. But we'll see.
All right. Fine.
We'll see. Yeah, I got a couple of months to kind of bring you over to our side. I'll push a little harder. All right, so with that, this is going to be the end of episode number 11 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. So, guys, can you tell everybody where you can find us?
I'm trying to tweet a little bit more still, and I have done a few things. Whenever I see any Star Wars or Marvel news, I put it out on @NerdAlertPod on Twitter. And I also tweet from @GreasyButler personally.
You can email us at nerdalertpod@gmail.com. You can get me @HackLaSalle.
That's it. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you next time. Later.
I remember to say, stay nerdy this time.
Good job.